San Antonio Sports Star Audio Vault is brought to you by AA Best Bail Bonds, 225-2121, or online at mybestbailbonds.com. KZDC, San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN, AM 1250 and 103.3 FM. Brandon Medina, Tanner Carlson, and Quinn Hudson, the Sunday Sports Grill.
What is going on, San Antonio? You are in the mix. We are coming to you live from the San Antonio Sports Star Station over here in beautiful, sunny, kind of cool, kind of chilly San Antonio, Texas. Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday Sports Grill. It has been a minute, but we are back, and we are back on attack. I'm your man with the plan, Brandon Big Poppy Medina. We got Quinn Hudson in the building eating now-or-laters like there's no tomorrow. Now. And then we got our boy Tanner Carlson also hooking up with us. We're having a fun time. Edwin producing right there, having a blast. This is his favorite show on the station, right? Edwin, you said that, I believe? Okay, yeah, correct. So with that, let's talk some sports. Let's talk some outtakes. Obviously, we have.
Don't tell the Blitz that.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, we'll keep.
Yeah,
it.
We'll keep Jason.
Keep it hush hush. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure they don't listen to their own.
They're
station.
Definitely not listening right
they,
now.
They don't listen to the Sunday shows.
Of course. Yeah. So with that, we have a lot to get into. We have March Madness. We have a lot of madness going on in March, as a matter of fact. And then we also have some fun stuff to talk about. We have the Oscars going on today with the movie discussion, all that good stuff, and then. Realistically, you know, I think when people hear sports radio and they hear the terms of, you know, ESPN and San Antonio Sports Star, they're thinking, man, these guys have everything planned to a T. I'm letting you know right now, people, we don't know where the show's going to go, but we're going somewhere.
I asked you about Fiesta. We're in the wake of Fiesta.
We are
about to kick off too, man.
Then that's where we're going to start, Quinn Hudson. Here we go.
Fiesta.
Fiesta. So I know, Tanner, you just started living in the San Antonio area in 2020. Obviously, no Fiesta then. You haven't gone since. Do you have any plans now to be going to the Market Square, Fiesta event,
right.
Stuff like that?
So we've actually run into some speed bumps in terms of attending our first Fiesta and being involved in all the Fiesta activities that we could go to because, so first, like you mentioned, 2020 is whenever we moved here. That was obviously canceled, we had to move into 2021.
Right.
Well, 2021 didn't happen until June.
Right.
Is that correct?
It was an abbreviated, staggered Fiesta.
It's like a heat of summer. Well, my wife was about 8 months pregnant at that time. And so she's like, the last thing I want to do is walk around a bunch of people when it's like 120 degrees outside and my feet are already swollen. I'm already uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, well, also, if you're walking around, maybe that will induce labor a little bit quickly so you can just get it over with.
If not, the chicken on a stick with a jalapeno would.
Right. But I think also all the different smells and all that stuff.
Yeah.
She was like, maybe best not.
Yeah, I'm not looking for that kind of induced labor, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So we actually have not attended any type of Fiesta event. I am working one event this year, so I will be at a Fiesta event this year.
Working events are very nice. I will say that I'm a Fiesta loyalist here.
Yeah.
Even when I lived in Los Angeles, I used to plan
to
a
come
return
back?
Trip, nice. Absolutely, to me and my brother and that we hang out together. Now, we're no longer in the Stack Cup Club where we're grown, we're older.
I'm still stacking
so
cups.
So we don't
I got
stack.
baby in one hand, stacked cups in the other.
And no judgment.
Okay, so what are these traditions? I don't know about these traditions.
So
I know chicken on a stick.
Chicken on a stick is the most popular for whatever reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's really...
It's just timely.
It's just a chicken on a stick.
I think it's just when you get that chicken on a stick, you're going to have a great appreciation for it.
Yeah, it's one of those, this is the only time you're going to get this. So it's one of those nostalgic kind of...
Thanksgiving dinner, like you know what it is.
Yeah, yeah. And so
it's just whenever it hits, once you're eating Thanksgiving dinner, you're like, this is what I've been waiting
for. Yeah, and for most people, right, you're not every day grabbing a fresh gordita off the street. You're not grabbing tacos. You're not grabbing
tamales,
elotes and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a celebration of Hispanic cuisine. It's a celebration of specifically Tejano music as well.
True.
Which is, for somebody who's newer to San Antonio, so it's basically... Spanish country music, if you will.
Yeah.
So my dad was a singer in the Tejano band.
Yes.
His friends were in the Tejano band. So I've grown up very much in that Tejano culture. It's an incredible time. I always come back for it. Even when I was in Lubbock, I'd make that 6-hour drive quite a bit for Fiesta when we had Michelle was pregnant. I think she was about probably like 8-7 months. We went to the Market Square on like a Sunday morning, not at night when it was super, super packed.
Right.
but something chill. You have a lot of great restaurants over there. It is just a very fun time, and I think it's one of the few times that San Antonio as a whole gets to really come together and celebrate its people and community.
Yeah, I agree, and I think this gets lost in San Antonio. The uniqueness about San Antonio by having all these multiple military bases, the multicultural city, more people go through Fiesta than go through Mardi Gras in New Orleans. A lot of people don't know
Is that legit?
That's legit. That's a real stat. You can look that up. And just like...
You heard it here, folks.
Just like San Antonio also has the largest MLK Day march.
Yes, that is true.
And you think about the cities like Atlanta or Chicago or Baltimore, which have had or Detroit, where there's a large black population, or the civil rights movements, Birmingham, where they're really cemented in the growth of it. San Antonio's culture shows a buy-in when the black population is only 7%. So there's also, as Big Poppy was talking about Fiesta events, there's an event called the Taste of New Orleans. It's at Sunken Gardens. You've got Nyosa. You've got Taste of the North Side out in the Dominion. So what they do is they branch these festivals out throughout
Williams, the entire city.
If you're looking for art, if you're looking for
a lot of festivals, I think that people know about is that it's typically in one location.
Right.
You just go to the Texas State Fair.
Right.
It's
You know
what I'm saying? So like if you go to the Texas State Fair, you know where you're going.
Fiesta
is throughout the entire
city. You've got coming to life.
Yeah.
Fiesta is very I don't know what came first. I'm not saying that we started this tradition.
La Semana.
Because they do it a lot bigger and a lot better, I think, as far as not conflicting schedules. But I mean, it's very South by Southwest ish in Austin, where it's like different bars are doing, because even bars and restaurants are doing stuff for Fiesta. Like,
true.
As simple as selling pins. That's another thing. The
medals. That is one thing where I think JC and I were a little bit culture shocked with the medals.
Yeah,
I don't think I knew they existed. I knew they were a thing.
People just collect them.
I didn't realize that there were pictures. Like, she works with a couple people that have pictures of like their collection on a sash.
Oh yeah.
And I'm talking they don't even have a spot to put anymore. Like, they're like overlapping them, and it's just like
people wear
ridiculous
hats with all the metal.
One of my buddies has a poncho, and it's completely full. The whole poncho is completely full.
I was at Fiesta Media Day, and you get the guys who dress like colonels, and they got the medals all over their uniform and stuff.
The real street cred is when they go up to you like, this one right here is from 1979. This one's King Antonio. Like, wow.
This is Greg Popovich's first year as this. Yeah. Legit.
Johnny Moore. This was Johnny Moore. Right. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, George Gervin spilled a beer on me at this pin.
You see that little stain right there?
Yeah. So the big massive events is, of course,
Selena spit on me.
Yes.
Bongo Joe.
The big events are the Tejano Explosion downtown. That's all free usually. Yeah. So you get to go underneath the Market Square downtown, and it's underneath the bridge. It's in the Market Square, just full of music and street food.
Yes.
And the big event for even, like, if you can get a babysitter, the big event for probably, like, our age group, right? So anybody 20 to 40-ish, right?
Yeah.
Is Night in Old San Antonio is big for college kids.
Nyosa.
So
short.
It's Night in Old San Antonio. Nyosa's huge, and that's where the cup stacking is. That's where you're buying beers and you're just stacking cups. It's like a term of endearment. Like, who's stacking the most cups?
Who's getting down for real? Now, I will tell you, post-COVID, when they did the abbreviated summer edition, the changes were actually, I liked them. So they did away with the whole cash, you know, exchange kind of thing.
Yeah,
you used to have to get cash, and you get tickets, and you go to tickets to booths.
I hate that.
All that's gone. You get a wristband now.
And the wristband
is
loaded
a dollar amount.
That's a lot like that. So the first time I ever saw that was at ACL. When we went to ACL, they had the wristbands or whatever, and you just kind of...
That's exactly how it is now at Fiesta, which was such a smoother process.
It's so much more convenient.
But what I liked about it...
Until you hit insufficient funds, then you kind of go to the... I wanted a ticket on a stick. I only had 6.4 or something left, and
exactly. Your car's like your wristband getting declined now. Like, try the other wrist.
As long as I got overdraft protection, it'll be all right.
My wife's wrist. Let's try my wife's wrist.
You just dragging drunk Brad and Medina over there.
Can I borrow your wrist, brother?
It's like saw. You just saw it off.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like you just got a But limp hand.
What I like about Nayosa is it's not just Mexican cuisine, though. Like, there's a lot of...
like you were saying, like, when you got New Orleans.
Yeah,
you taste of New Orleans.
Jamaican food.
Yeah, there's Jamaican food there. There's some New Orleans food there. Some Italian cuisine.
And I also think that there's a reason why it's crawfish season, too.
Like, I mean, it's right on time.
Yeah, yeah.
Although, like, I'm not a crawfish person.
Really?
Though. Are you guys?
No, oh, I love...
I've never had it.
I love a crawfish boil.
I'm okay with you not ever having it.
I want to try it.
One of my favorite things is this was, like, pre-COVID, obviously. I don't know if people even still do this. I'm all for it. If someone's having a big crawfish feast where you just throw it all on the table,
oh yeah,
and everyone's just grabbing
a
it.
A lot of restaurants do this season right now.
I mean,
now.
You just grab it, you grab your corn on the top.
You're already there.
Of course.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Well, if you celebrate Fiesta and you are a true San Antonian, whether new or old, let us know your favorite Fiesta tradition. You can hit us up on Twitter. I am at Big Poppy Brennan M. Tanner Carlson is at Tanner Carlson 20. Quinn Hudson is at Quinn Hudson. Or you can give us a call because the Kiabasa Bacon phone lines are always open. It is 210-656-3776. 210-656-ESPN. When we come back, let's break down the Fiesta of Madness over here in March and what's going on in March Madness. We're going on to the Elite Eight. We got a couple games left today, but it's going to be a crazy one. Let us know your thoughts, who you're picking to win the whole thing. We'll break down the wins, losses, and who we think now that the board is clear and all of our brackets are set on fire and busted.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we stand? What money have we won? And who do we think is coming out with it? This is the Sunday Sports Guru for Tanner, Quinn, and myself. We'll be back right after this. Let it build, Edwin. Let it build. What's going on, San Antonio? Your boys are back in town. This is the Sunday Sports Grill. We're having a blast. A little bit of Lenny Kravitz to wake you up here on a Sunday morning.
Springtime.
Springtime it is. Are you going to go my way? We're having a blast over here. This is your boy, Brandon Big Poppy Medina. We got Quinn Hudson, Tanner Carlson in the building.
No.
We are talking March Madness and what madness it has been. It's been a crazy, crazy time over here for not only the station of San Antonio Sports Star, but for March Madness viewers, bettors, bracket busters. It is just crazy. For the first time ever in history, we've seen a team ranked 15 make a run that we might never see for a long time again.
I got three brackets and I'm not even looking at them anymore. I have no chance to win any contest of any sort. So I'm rooting for storylines, point spreads, and theatrics and game drama. So that's how I'm watching the tournament and I'm enjoying it.
Oh, 100%.
That's where I'm at. I'm invested in it. I love the storylines that are in place. I don't like chalk'em tournaments anyway, so you can't bank on anybody being just the top dog. So I like it, and this what teams that are remaining now right now are filled with storylines. I love it.
You know, before this tournament happened, about middle of the college basketball season, I said this year more than any, expect there to be some kind of crazy something going on with brackets. Like there wasn't one team this year that wanted to be that number one ranked team in the country. There was not just that. There are years where you're like, all right, this Kentucky team's the best team in the country. Like they're going to be the favorites to win it all. Last year, I really had it down between Gonzaga and Baylor. That's who I had in my championship game in my brackets, and that's exactly what happened. Like it played out according to plan. There's always going to be upsets. There's always going to be some Cinderella runs. There's always going to be some teams that you didn't expect make a decent run at it.
Right.
But like you said, this year I don't have a single Final Four team left. I don't have. I think I've got three of my Elite Eight still in it, and I think they lost. So it's like I don't have anything to even look at in my bracket.
But you're still watching.
But I will always, 100% of the time, even if there is money on the line, I will always root for chaos over my bracket every year because it's just more entertaining that way.
I agree.
Yeah, no, I mean, you look at this Elite Eight run right now that we're in. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have St. Peter's number 15 going up against North Carolina number 8. That by itself is ridiculous to have two teams like that outside the top 5, much less an 8 and 15. The University of Miami is just making it around. We haven't seen two. I mean, you had Iowa State number 11 versus 10 Miami in the Sweet 16. Nobody's planning on that. North Carolina looks incredible. Kansas is the only number 1 in the tournament, and before the tournament, I was on record saying Kansas is the weakest number 1 in the tournament. You just don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, right now, We have two spots already filled in the Final Four. You have Duke. You have Villanova. This is not only for Coach K another huge accolade for himself on his last go around, but also, dude, 5 decades he's been in the Final Four, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, and now the 2020s. That is ridiculous.
Another fun little stat for you guys. Never have we ever seen Duke, North Carolina play in the March Madness tournament. At any first round, second round, third round, Elite Eight, Final Four, championship, never. And we could get, in Coach K's final season, a Duke-North Carolina Final Four.
And you're getting a payback match when North Carolina, on Duke's floor, dog-walked them on Coach K's last game in front of all of the greatness Duke of...
What a beautiful way to come back from.
Full circle. So, like, even if St. Peter's doesn't win, which I think we're all rooting for, right?
Absolutely.
We're all Peacock Nation at this point in time. 100%. So,
wait, is that the sound a Peacock makes?
Sure.
Whatever you did. Whatever you
sure.
did.
I don't think I've heard a peacock.
I don't know what a peacock sounds
squawk?
Like. Yeah, I don't know what a peacock sounds
What's
like.
Plural for peacock?
Peacocks? I think it's just...
Pause before we get too crazy.
Edwin, stay on that mute button.
Yeah, I gotta think about it.
Slow down. Goodness gracious.
But either way, in the Final Four against Duke, we're gonna have a great matchup because it's either gonna be a 15 seed or it's gonna be North Carolina Duke. Like that.
Oh, brother,
that's a
Blue
win-win.
Devils and the Cocks just going at it. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it.
So have we overused the term Cinderella? Given that St. Peter's is doing no one's done before.
There's Loyola. Of what, 2018, 2018, whatever it was?
Yes.
That team was just no joke.
It was legit.
Yeah, they went to, was it Elite Eight or Final Four?
They got to Final Four.
Final Four. Okay, so that's like the top of Cinderella so far.
Well, because they were, what were they?
I think they were 12?
This is 15.
This is 15. If they go, I promise, listen, if St. Peter's beats North Carolina, which I don't think they will, just to be transparent, but if they do, and they've been hooping, if they beat North Carolina, we will never ever in our lifetimes see this again. I'm telling you now.
They didn't even have the budget
to bring
the cheerleaders.
George Mason?
Mascot.
Of the university?
What was it? James Madison?
For what?
For basketball. It was a Final Four run, like early 2000s.
Ooh, I don't know. Were they 15, though? I don't think
No. They were probably a 14. They were 13.
Yeah, 13
seed. That's what I'm saying. As far as a 15, this is the lowest seed.
No, this is the lowest seed. Well, obviously, because a 15 seed's never even made it to an Elite Eight before. Right. So this is the first time we're ever seeing as far as they have made it.
Uncharted waters, absolutely.
And so, yeah. I mean, this is... But this, even making it to the Elite Eight, I think still trumps Loyola Chicago in the Final Four.
That's fair. And given who they beat.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have it easy, dude.
Kentucky,
you beat Kentucky, who people had winning the thing, going to the Final Four, going to at least the Elite Eight. Then you go, right, face a team who just went down to the wire with Texas, with Purdue, and absolutely go minute for minute with Purdue and Ivy, who's going to be easily a top six pick in the draft.
Right.
Now you're going to face North Carolina. Which is, I mean, their guard duo is no joke.
Right, it's like constant David and Goliath every time.
Well, think about the blue blood track that they might have to go down. I mean, they've got Kentucky, and now they've got North Carolina today. If they win, then they play Duke, and then possibly KU.
They might play Kansas
in the national championship.
Could you imagine St. Peter's in the national? Oh, my goodness gracious.
I can't imagine it going down, but it is something that's got everyone watching, enjoying it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm watching somebody play an old NCAA video game and just take their team.
This is one of my arguments, and I make this argument all the time. So everyone's like, it's great for the NFL whenever you've got the two top teams, like say Pittsburgh and Dallas at the top, and they're on the mountain or whatever. Right. It's great for the NBA when it's when you've got the Lakers and Celtics. We've seen that finals 30 times, what have you. But what about, do you think there's not going to be a single college basketball fan that's not watching St. Peter's today?
I think they will be. They don't have to have any relation to that university.
You have no affiliation. You've never even heard of them except for maybe like half a month ago. Middle of March. You've known them for 2 weeks, and every single basketball fan is going to be watching St. Peter's today.
I have a buddy who literally texts me and he goes, I live in New Jersey, and I had no idea that there was a school named St. Peter's. I have no idea about this school.
And that goes back to your point, Tanner. When you look at it, the NFL,
you don't need the brand.
The Cowboys. Cowboys is the brand.
Right.
The Steelers are the brand. But March Madness is the brand.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So people are drawn to that before they even know who the players are going to
be. But you don't, what I'm saying, I think my point is you don't need Kentucky and North Carolina playing in a national. You don't need KU playing Duke in a national championship for ratings.
We're still invested.
I just don't think you don't need it. Does it help? Of course.
Right.
You're going to tune in. I tuned in for North Carolina, UCLA, simply based on the names.
True.
You know, of course I was going to watch it regardless, but you see North Carolina, UCLA, that's a must-watch game.
That's
of course, that is the thing, but I don't think you have to have that to have ratings.
No, you don't.
And you need a good story to have ratings.
And to that point, St. Peter's is going to draw people who probably would not have watched Kentucky.
There you go.
The two powerhouse schools play. Now you're going to have people who really wouldn't have been watching now watching it because they want to see this. They want to see history in the making. They want to see the magical story of, what is it?
So, yeah, you're right. I mean,
Hoosiers.
Everybody wants to see the, because if they even go to a Final Four and give it 15 years, we're going to have a 30 for 30 or a Disney movie about the St. Peter's Peacocks. So,
absolutely.
I mean, it's just an incredible run. But switching gears a little bit, when it comes to betting, and obviously our show is heavily invested in the betting world, and we always have been since the start, talking about betting and as bettors, what team have you been riding the most that's either been the best for you or maybe just recently slumped off for you? But what team have you won the most money on just taking bets on here and there?
It was Arkansas, simply because that was the one team that I felt, when you watch how they finished the season going through the SEC, they had skins on the wall. They were actually beating. Their body of work was showing that they were battle-tested to go into the NCAA tournament. All of the others, I should have took advantage of when they had the point spreads. Like Duke was up by 20, and some of those were a little kind of tempting to want to do, but I didn't do it. So I rode Arkansas up until this point, and I realized in the first 2 minutes of the game last night that
they
were overmatched.
Yeah,
they were overmatched.
Yeah, I to answer your question, I had a great win with betting Arkansas over Gonzaga. I was like, I'm just going to ride this wave. I'll put Arkansas over Duke. That didn't happen. It didn't pan out. But the team, to answer your question, Big Poppy, is the I've been riding North Carolina. I put money on them over Baylor. That was a great win. And then I've ridden them since. I put money on them over UCLA. Yep. You know, and so I have ridden the Tar Heel train, and that wave has taken me all the way up to this point. And now I'm at a point where it's like, do I bet against them just because it's a win-win? Like, I could bet North Carolina and I either win money that way with them actually winning, or if I lose that bet, history is made and we get a 15 seed in the Final Four. So it's like, that's a win-win in my
You're
book.
Speaking of overthinker dialogue right now. This is so how I am.
Right.
So North Carolina has been one of my favorites for sure, just because the Marquette matchup in the first round, it was 8 versus 9. It was a pick'em game.
Mm-hmm.
So there's value there. Then you go against Baylor. I think they were like a plus 285 to win. The money line was there. If you bet $20, you were, you know, almost tripling. And then you have against UCLA, another one, they were plus money. I mean, it was just constantly plus money, plus money, plus money.
They're finally favored.
Yeah, the one that I've been riding, and even in their defeat, they still paid a nice little chunk of cash for me, is I've been riding Providence for the past couple days.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Simply because they were heavily favored against Dakota State, so I took the line. I think it was like -9. They won by, I believe, exactly 9, so I got it. And then against Richmond, after Richmond beat Iowa, it was a pick'em game. Then you had Kansas and Providence.
Yeah.
I took Providence to cover, I think, +7. They lost by 5. So even in defeat, they were still paying your boys' pocketbooks. But it's all about the underdogs and the NCAA. We know that.
So what would you do? What would you do with today's game?
What today for which
UNC.
One? So for UNC, I think I'm taking Carolina.
Yeah.
Right, because Vegas isn't dumb. They're catching on to the St. Peter's wave.
Right.
Right? And so I took Carolina. You're not going to make a ton of money. I did take them money line. I have it right here. I'm looking at. I believe they were -360. So I put like 30 to win like 10. But I'm just trying to stack up chips to go really hard in the Final Four or the championship.
So if one was going to be on the edge of going with St. Peter's today.
Yeah.
And I wanted to put 20 on it.
Here's the thing, though. St. Peter's to cover, St. Peter's to win. What are we talking here exactly?
St. Peter's to win.
Just straight win outright.
Straight win money line.
Yep.
Wow. So St. Peter's now is plus 300. So $20 is going to win you 60, so a total of 80 return.
You're basically tripling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever money you put in, you're gotcha. Basically tripling.
And the only reason I didn't put money on North Carolina to cover the spread is the spread they have them at 8.5.
That's
pretty high for like North Carolina to win by 8.5.
Right.
So
you think it'll be closer?
I just think St. Peter's is playing really good ball. I wouldn't be surprised if North Carolina wins at all, but maybe by like 5 or 6, yeah, not 9.
Where I was stumped with this North Carolina St. Peter's game, because I am going to put something on the line just because it adds a little extra. Yeah. We were talking about that before we even came on the show, is like betting March Madness makes it so much more exciting. You're invested into a team that you have never watched play basketball, probably, especially for that regular season, but maybe even ever. Like,
right.
Like I can't tell you how many Loyola Chicago games I watched outside of the year they made their run. You know, in the last 2 seasons, I think I've maybe watched 2 Loyola Chicago games, but I was invested in that Ohio State game like none other. I mean, I was edge of my seat, like get within the spread, get within the point. Like it makes it so much more exciting. And I'm talking $5. If I lose $5, it's the end of the world when right. it comes to March Madness.
It's
you know,
principle,
it's
like, man.
It's principle of winning and gaining something.
Yeah,
out
I
of
think
it.
The people at Twin Peaks thought I was probably a USC alum, but then I was yelling at the bad calls down the stretch when USC was going to lose.
Yeah,
because I was so invested because I had USC
right,
riding.
Right,
and they probably were like, "Man, this guy must have went to USC."
And if you reacting. put $10 on the game, and it's like I feel like I'm losing $10,000. You know, yeah. I was like, that's the fun of it.
And what's so funny about that is I was at the movie theaters last night and I paid $9 for a beer and that's what I thought in my mind.
Did you?
If I put $9, like a $10 bet, I probably would be worried. And here I am paying $9 for a Modelo at a movie theater with a $10.50 popcorn.
I love it.
And a very bad movie, by the way.
Oh, what movie did you see?
You're Not My Mother.
What the hell is that?
I've never even heard
of it. Well, speaking of that.
I've never even heard of that movie.
Yeah, for good reason.
Speaking of movies that we've never heard of and movies that we have, it brings us into our nice little topic. So thank you, Quinn Hudson. When we come back, let's talk the Oscars of the day. What movies are up for debate? What movies are up and nominated for Best Picture, Best Animated Film, Best Documentary, all that good stuff. We'll break down our favorites of the year, all that and more coming up. This is the Sunday Sports Grill. Hope you went to church because we're about to bless you. So have a wonderful rest of your day. Keep it locked. We're going to be talking about not only the Oscars, but also more March Madness, more Deshaun Watson talk, Spurs talk. Spurs Twitter's going crazy. Team Tank, what are you? Let's talk about that. The Sunday Sports Grill is back after this. What's going on, San Antonio? This is the Sunday Sports Grill. We are just dying over here. We're laughing over here, telling crazy stories about Now or Laters and Tooths and who knows how we got here.
People but who don't know
the
candy.
The best conversations always happen at the commercial break.
It does. So here I am, chewing an hour later.
Still working it out.
Still working it out. Damn concrete mix over here. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Whoever works for a construction company, just take a bunch of Nowlaters to Marbach Road. Fix it up for me. Yeah.
You seal all the bones, the cracks, bottles.
Y'all are being disrespectful on Nowlaters, man. They're legendary. Right.
My question was, Tanner, at the break.
Tanner knew what he was doing. He wanted to get me and you to go
and
get each other.
He wanted you and I. Okay. I honestly thought this was an easy, like, no confrontational question. I thought this was an easy one for everyone to agree.
Yeah, Nowlaters stuck on my tooth.
Okay. Quinn offered me a Now and Later. I took one. I unwrapped it, and it looks like a Starburst. It's the same style. We have to unwrap them each individually. So the question in my head was, what do you guys prefer, Now and Laters or Starburst?
Damn.
And this is an easy
dumb question.
One. It's Now and Laters.
Why?
Are better.
How?
They got they're better flavored. They are better. Their flavors are better all the way across the board.
More flavor or better flavors?
You know why people in Starburst start sorting out the nasty, the yellow and the orange they don't want. Okay. They look for pink. The reason why Starburst
picky eaters.
Okay, but the reason why they have to keep circulating different flavors and making tropical versions is because none of them stick.
It's because they're all so good.
Nowlaters are very simple, man. We're going to make them green. We're going to make them purple. We're going to make them red. We're going to make them good.
Those aren't flavors.
Those aren't colors.
Bro, in the hood, those aren't flavors. Are you kidding me?
The
ask
red
for
flavor.
Some red Kool-Aid. You're going to get red Kool-Aid.
You're going to get red, yeah.
You're going to get red Kool-Aid.
Listen, all I'm saying is, You could buy the Now Later factory for the price of one Starburst pack. I mean, it's like nobody eats Now or Laters.
Starburst.
If you eat Now or Laters, listen, I can guarantee, let's do a poll. If you eat Now or Laters, are you over 45 or are you under 45? Because it's going to be over.
No, but is Starburst even candy? I mean, yeah, you put it in your mouth, it dissolves like you had communion. It goes so quick. It doesn't even hold anything in your mouth.
It's a wafer.
Wafer is what it is.
No, yeah. Now or Laters are there with like the Mexican candies that have like the picture of a strawberry or a pineapple as the wrapper. That's what it is. You throw them in there. I thought you were passing me a cheeklet.
No, when you passed it to me, I dropped it. I didn't catch it, and it landed on the table. Yeah. I thought it cracked the table. Man. I thought the table was going to fall
candy
apart.
That keeps on giving, though. See, y'all don't understand.
Now or later, either or. It's in the name.
Now and later.
So let's talk about movies real quick. Our boys Quinn Hudson and Tanner Carlson are big movie buffs.
Yes.
Quinn, probably one of the bigger ones for sure. When it comes to the 94th Academy, there's a bunch of movies that I have not seen, for sure.
Yeah.
Some
you've never even heard of.
West Side Story?
No, I've only seen West Side Story. I saw Dune. Well, I wanted to go see Licorice Pizza. I haven't seen Licorice Pizza, and I wanted to see King Richard, but I've heard great things. So we have Coda, King Richard, West Side Story, The Power of the Dog, Licorice Pizza, Belfast, Drive My Car, Dune, Don't Look Up, and Nightmare Alley. Up for Best Picture, Quinn Hudson. I don't know if we have anything to add to the competition for that specific category.
I have seen West Side Story. I've wanted to see King Richard. I also, Dune is on my list to watch before tonight. Okay. and then, Don't Look Up. I had to ask Quinn about this. I had to ask him because every single person that I have talked to says Don't Look Up was terrible. So I didn't watch it. It's been on Netflix, sitting on Netflix, just waiting for you to watch it. It's got Leonardo DiCaprio, Jonah Hill. It's got Jennifer Lawrence, and it's got a superstar cast.
Right.
And everyone's like, this movie sucks, don't watch it. So I didn't watch it. And now it's up for Best Picture.
Right. So I will tell you that one of the things on stage that people, like, something will happen to me in my life, and my friends will be like, oh, dude, you got to do that on stage. And I will tell you that some things are too in real time. Like, you have to heal. Like if you're going through a divorce, you're not going to go on stage and talk about the divorce you're going through. Right. But after you pass the divorce, you can then joke back on reflection on things that you went through during the divorce.
Okay.
Don't Look Up is too real. It's too real, okay? This is not a spoiler to the whole movie because you can get this in the trailer, okay? There's a meteor coming to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
The meteor coming to Earth, and guess what happens? It gets politicized. Now, when it does get politicized, it gets monetized. So you get people trying to profit off of the damage that it's going to do to Earth. You get the politics not telling, informing the people of the Earth what's really going on. Then you've got the conspiracy people who actually know what's going on trying to communicate.
So it's something that could actually happen.
Right.
And that is, people could probably saw it and was like, wow, that would actually happen in today's world.
And it's so uncomfortable. And so the whole Don't Look Up is kind of like is a political party's mantra to get people to be blind to it. Like, you're just going to ignore that you can see this ball of fire that's 2 months away. They can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, don't look up. So they pretend like it's not going to happen.
Gotcha.
Meanwhile, the other people go, are you crazy? We got to be planning for it. Mm-hmm. And so, it's a little uncomfortable.
Okay, so it and that's the sign of a great movie, is it not?
I agree.
Or a great song.
The movie.
Or great art.
Yes.
If something makes you a little uncomfortable because it's real.
It's very real. And that it's probably not a Hollywood ending
either. Probably means that it's good.
Right. And I liked it. I enjoyed it. And it leaves you with a, geez, what world we live in.
Okay.
It's a little gritty.
So I actually didn't know the story. So moving on to another Best Picture nominee, I didn't know the story of West Side Story. I never knew the ending. I didn't know the sharks and the whatever, the minnows.
Yes.
I didn't know who. I didn't know anything about it. I never seen
so
the
you
play.
You just watched it in the blind.
And so I watched it on Disney Plus whenever it was released. And I just had known that Steven Spielberg was involved. I liked the actors that were in the movie. And then I also heard, you know, this is nominated for so many Oscars.
Right. Are you a fan of musicals?
I am learning to become a fan. I, as a child growing up, teenager, hated them, wouldn't watch them. But now it's like, after I watched Hamilton and things like that, it's like, okay, these are really good movies.
I put that one in top five.
Yeah. So I put West Side, I watched West Side Story in the first, like, hour and a half. I was like, what is this? Like, what am I watching? This is ridiculous. And then the last 45 minutes to an hour, you're like, ho!
Yeah.
So that's
the story. Catches.
And so be prepared if you haven't seen it or you don't know what happens or the story of it, then it catches on. West Side Story, little fun fact for everybody. It won Best Picture back in 1961. The original movie won Best Picture, and now it's up for it again here in 2020.
Right, and I didn't watch it originally when it came out. I just watched it on Disney Plus just for the reason I wanted to see it, but I had seen the original West Side Story.
Well, when it came out, in the original, you saw it, right?
Right.
In theaters.
Bunch of now or later.
Yeah, now later.
He was snacking
only,
on in the
that
theater.
That was the only concession treat that they had.
I'll tell you what, my boy Quinn looks good for 98, whatever it is.
Black don't crack, baby. Now listen, I saw Power of the Dog the other night.
Yeah, you said that.
And Kirsten Dunst is in it, and it's a Western.
Was
piece,
Kirsten Dunst good? Because she plays the same person in every single role.
This is unlike any character you've seen before.
I like that.
So
I'm about to check it out.
Gives that, and so this one's hard to watch. It's very slow moving.
Okay.
So if you can imagine a period piece, kind of the cattle riders that would take the cattle across country during the pioneer period, and so when you see this, it's very slow. It's like, how did these guys make it through each day, go to the brothels and kind of cope? And you got the gunslingers and people who are embedded. And then there's a story within the story. And I don't want to do a spoiler on that. So it definitely takes a turn in this movie that you wouldn't expect. But it's slow moving. But I can see how it can win Best Picture. And I'll probably put my money on this. Now, moving back to your point, we're talking about performances. Will Smith. Okay, King William.
King Richard. I've heard incredible things.
Okay, when you start to look at his body of work, right?
You tell me it's up there.
I mean, you're talking Ali.
Aladdin.
I Am Legend. Oh, God.
Aladdin.
We'll just.
The back-to-back.
Ali. Aladdin.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is different, though, when you really think
about
it. Stop,
don't give Tanner the...
I mean, it's not, when you look at his range, we'll give him range.
I Am Legend, Pursuit of Happiness, let's get back on track. Pursuit of Happiness is one of, to me, Will Smith is peak in Pursuit of Happiness. That's his peak performance, in my opinion.
Yeah, Pursuit of Happiness was phenomenal.
I love Pursuit. I like I Am Legend. I'm interested to see.
Men in Black.
I heard rumors about him doing the second one, possibly.
Independence Day.
Yeah, he's been quite a good film. But can I ask you this, Quinn?
Yes.
As a moviegoer, right? Like you said, me and Tanner, we watch a lot of the popular films. Mm-hmm. We're maybe not watching some of these specific ones for Best Picture.
Yep.
To me, from the outside looking in, this seems like a very weak Best Picture class. Is that correct?
I would agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would absolutely agree.
There's no clear-cut classic besides maybe make the case for Dune for people who are really into
it. And I think Dune is going to win an Oscar probably for cinematography.
Yeah.
The scenes in the movie are phenomenal. You get immersed into a different world of it, but it will not win Best
Picture.
But
there's not a Forrest Gump, there's not a Titanic, there's not a Godfather,
there's not
a Departed, there's not an instant, there's not even a Lord of the Rings, if you will. You know, you don't have that selection available. Yes.
King Richard is a great movie. I don't think it'll win Best Picture.
Okay.
I do believe Will Smith will win an Oscar for Best Actor.
You think?
Awesome.
So that's, you know, that's going into the Best Actor category. Where
so I'm going
you
Power
got,
of the Dog.
You've got
the
Denzel.
Javier Bardem, too. He's so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Denzel, Javier Bardem, Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch also.
And then Benedict Cumberbatch. So that's a strong class.
Now two Avengers in there. Or not Avengers, but two superheroes.
There's two superheroes to us.
Yeah. I like that. Now, the one that I'm really interested to see, and maybe Tanner, Carlson, and all the other young dads can speak to this too, is the best animated feature category.
Very, very strong. Y'all already know what I'm already
going
to say.
Put it down. You got Raya and the Last Dragon, fire film.
Fire.
You got The Mitchells and versus the Machines that my nephew likes. That was actually really good and funny.
Let's see.
Flea. And then you got two top tier movies. You got Encanto.
Versus
Luca.
So you think Luca's up there,
Luca,
right?
Luca is my absolute favorite movie that came out this year for like almost anything. Like,
really?
I thought it's an incredible film. It's very kid and adult friendly.
So it's something for everybody.
Yeah, and I think the story of Luca, it's not a musical. That's what I like. It's a full kid story.
Just a story.
Gotcha.
And it's a very, very cool story about kids that maybe don't have fathers, come from different paths, trying to figure out where they fit in life. And then also you have people that have disabilities in there that are very, there are main features in there. So, I mean, it's really, really big for all sizes of life. And Encanto, obviously, is an instant classic. Yeah. when it came
that's,
out.
Now, that's my winner.
Yeah, I think Encanto wins because of the soundtrack.
Well, it's also up for best original score. So yeah. it can win best soundtrack, best score, but also lose best animated
film. I think Luca should be best animated feature. But Encanto has a lot of incredible animation.
I gotta go look and see what's on Disney. These are on there.
So you know, they're all on there. Flea and Mitchell's and Machines are not on there, but Raya, Encanto, and Luca are.
You've seen Encanto.
I've seen Encanto. Okay. I love it.
It's incredible. Yes. It's incredible. Now, if you watch, you've seen Luca, right?
I actually have not seen Luca.
So I would highly encourage you guys. I swear to you, it sounds dumb. I know I'm going to get roasted by the guys of Jason Minix and the Muchacho guys at the station.
Yeah, right.
Listen, go watch Luca, literally, with you and your wife. I absolutely guarantee you're going to text me and be like, that was an amazing kid. Like that wasn't even, like, you don't even consider it a kid's movie. That was a great, just animated film.
Oh, so my wife and I, we watch just about every Pixar movie that comes out. Yeah. Like, we're huge Pixar fans, huge Disney fans. Like, we want to go to Disney World without our child.
Nice.
You know? So, like, that's just who we are. We're those weirdos.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're uncomfortable adults.
There's plenty of 100%.
Yes. So, my thing with the way Pixar has actually, their most recent movies, whether you want to go back to Encanto or if you want to go to Onward, which is with Tom Holland and Chris Pratt, Pixar has actually moved away from having a villain, like a character villain, like a character that is
like Up didn't have one, did it?
Maleficent, you know, it's like, well, Up had that old dude
so a grumpy old dude.
Yeah. Right. And so, but the actual obstacle that is in the way is like family drama or like a life, actual thing in life that is going to hold you back, not Maleficent who's going to turn into a dragon and try to eat you.
There's not a physical villain
character.
Gotcha.
There are the obstacles that are in these most recent Pixar movies are something that you're actually going to face in life. Family drama, a grandma who is not accepting of the way you're living your life, or that maybe you don't fit in, you're the black sheep. Right. There's no villain,
right?
But
you have to. Like
there is a Soul, perfect
yeah,
example.
Soul awesome.
That is a they're coming out with movies that are actually the obstacle in the movie is an obstacle in life
real
that you have take to
a real takeaway story.
Yeah. Now I know just to tell you guys how much I'm a huge fan of Luca, and that's my. That's our go-to for, like, when my daughter's playing with toys, we put it on the background, because the score is very Italian, so lots of violins, like, very chill, because it's in Italy, but there's no, like, music that they're sing-alongs. It's just, like, an Italian music background. We're throwing her first birthday party, and it is a Luca theme. That's
there
how
go.
I think.
There you go.
Yeah, nice. It's a very, very cool, nice. Cool thing. But, yeah, check out Luca when you can. That's all of our talk for the Oscar nominations.
Art is life.
Art is life. We look forward to it, and obviously, you know, life imitates art as well. You know what I mean? And so when we talk about that, there's not only Fiesta, our art and cultural community celebration, but also a huge part of celebration is our hometown team, the San Antonio Spurs.
Yes.
Guys, there's a lot going on social media about Team Tank, Team, you know, play go in. On, play in.
Let's talk about it
real quick. We have a quick segment. We're going to do 2 seconds on this, a back-to-back one. We're going to end this hour. We're with you for the 12 to 1 hour as well. We'll go back-to-back on this one. This is the Sunday Sports Real, talking all things Los Spurs when we get back. Thank you. What's going on, San Antonio? Hour number one is coming to a close, but don't be weary. We are with you for hour number two as well. From 12 to 1, we're here with you 11 to 1 p.m. every Sunday. I am Brandon Big Poppy Medina. I got Tanner Carlson and Quinn Hudson in the building. Follow us on Twitter at Big Poppy Brandon M, at Tanner Carlson 20, and at Quinn Hudson. Make sure you go follow the station at SA Sports Star. We are talking Los San Antonio Spurs. Lots of conversations on the interwebs and especially on Twitter, on Spurs Twitter, that, you know, it's a very split majority where a lot of people now that we're starting to come to the end of the season are either jumping on Team Tank or Michael Jimenez type jumping off and getting back on board for let's get into the play-in if it's possible. Where do you guys stand?
I stand where I did from the beginning of the year. I felt like the Spurs had the nucleus of talent to make it into the playoffs, whether we're talking about the play-in tournament or we're talking about a lower seed in the Western Conference. I felt like the Spurs had what it took to get into the playoffs with this team, with or without a Derek White. I mean, losing Thaddeus Young didn't impact us because we weren't even playing Thaddeus Young. You can't tell me Eubanks was the difference maker in any of this getting there. The Spurs were going to have enough to be a playoff team with this young roster, and I think the playoff experience is invaluable.
Yep.
And I'm all for it. As I've been in the beginning, I want them to make the playoffs.
My thing is, now that you are starting, the San Antonio Spurs have strung some wins together, right?
Yes.
Like they're only worsening their record, you know, in terms of tanking, right?
Right.
They're bettering themselves and bettering their season by, you know, breaking the hearts of everyone who kind of wanted them to tank and get a higher draft pick or a higher opportunity. Because the lottery, you're not guaranteed a high pick even if you do tank, right?
Right.
Like, so I think the trade, and now you own three first rounders, why not try to get into the play-in, right? Now that you have three first-rounders and you can trade all three of those to get a higher pick if that's really what you want.
Agreed.
You know, or what have you. You can play with those first. That gives you a lot of flexibility to just go in and try to get into a play-in game and get some of that valuable experience. So, like, I don't see right now at this point in time what the purpose of tanking is, because now even if you don't get in the play-in, you're going to be looking at a lottery pick that is going to land you 12, 11.
Right where you've been.
Right where you've been the last 3 years.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, if you were going to tank, that needed to be decided midway through the season.
Yep.
And, like, make sure you're in that top five projection.
Agreed, because some teams understand the assignment, and they are not even trying to do any of that.
Houston.
Right. So they're all in. And, by the way, Houston has a lot of young nucleus talent.
They're going to be good in
a
while.
So, yeah, they're going to catapult real quick.
Yes, they are.
Depending on this draft pick they get this next season. And so, to me, I absolutely do think they're purposely playing for that way.
Right. I think the same with Orlando as well. Orlando has a lot of really good nucleus talent that if they land a Paolo and they replace that Vucevic loss that they got with Chicago.
That's right.
Oh, man. I mean, this is Bamba.
They
still got Bamba.
Yeah.
You got
Isaac.
What's homeboy from North Carolina you played with them? Cole, what's his name?
Cole Anthony. Tyler Hansborough.
No.
They
got Anthony.
They got Fultz.
Yeah, they still got Isaac. They got a bunch of really solid little talent.
Yeah, they do. It's an athletic team.
I agree. I have never been about Team Tank. I've never wanted this team to tank. I think the whole point of sports is to be competitive. If not, there's no need for you to have an organization.
I don't mind Team Tank, but you have to make that.
Make a decision early.
And here's the thing. I hate. And
it's how you got Duncan, baby. Right, make it early.
Right. And I realize people. We're going to go into the second hour. This conversation's not over. But people are like, the players are never going to get. No, the players are. The players don't tank.
Right.
The coach, Pop, has never tanked, and he's never going to tank, and the players are never going to tank. The front office and the GM and the people making the decisions
is going to tank the team.
Those are the people tanking.
Right.
Pop is not going to lose games. The players are not going to lose games. So I hate when people are like, well, these players are playing hard. Why would they tank? Players have never tanked.
Right.
You put a less talented team out there on the floor, less to work with, so you just lose games because you're not talented
enough.
100%.
So the Spurs have about 8 games left. As it stands right now, it is neck and neck, at least for the play-in tournament. The Clippers are clear in for the 8 as far as competing in the tournament, obviously. They have 30. They're a 36-39 record. Then you have the Lakers, 31-42. The Pelicans, 31-43. And the San Antonio Spurs, 30-44. So the Spurs have to catch up to the Lakers or the Pelicans. I don't think it should be that hard, but the Pelicans have been playing pretty okay ball now after the trade with McCollum. The Lakers have just, I don't know what's going on.
Brandon Ingram's not 100%, so that's going to hurt them down the stretch. So that's an opportunity for the Spurs. The Clippers are an example of what a team looks like that doesn't have, they can't look forward to a lottery pick.
Yep.
And the fact that they played all season without Kawhi, really without Paul George
yep.
And yet here they are in playoff standing. They are playing. They are balling because they know they have nothing to gain by tanking.
Yes, and if you're unfamiliar with the play-in tournament, we're going to pick up this conversation, of course, in the next hour. However, just so you know, the play-in tournament is for the 8th through the 10th place teams. So 8th place 7th. 9th place, 10th. The winner of 9 and 10th and the loser of 7 and 8th goes into the 8 and 7th.
You don't count that as a playoff appearance, do you?
No.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm glad we're all in agreement on that.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So when we come back, let's talk about it. Are you Team Tank? Are you for the play-in? Give us a call. The Keep House of Bacon phone lines are open. 210-656-3776. 210-656-ESPN. All that and more. It's almost time for Fiesta. Let's throw a little party in this next hour. This is the Sunday Sports Grill. We'll be back right after this.
Live, local, loud. K Amazing DC, San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN, AM 1250 and 103.3 FM, Brandon Medina, Tanner Carlson, and Quinn Hudson, the Sunday Sports Grill.
You know who's back up in this, San Antonio. It's a Sunday. It's the noon hour. Hopefully you got the barbecue pit going or you just got some meat at the Culebra Meat Market.
Mm.
Whatever the case, maybe you're about to go meet some family. Maybe there's a cousin you don't like, but you got to suck it up. It's the Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. It's all good. Right now, we are your family, though. This is a Sunday Sports Scrum. Your man, Brandon Big Poppy Medina, Tanner Carlson, the reigning, defending, Rock the Mic champ. And then we have our boy, Quinn Hudson.
Yes.
Silky smooth, Quinn Hudson.
Man, this is the week of Fiesta kicking off.
Yep.
This is the week. So you got to start hydrating right now.
You better start drinking water. Yeah. Go. Yeah. Go to Sam's, go to Costco, go get bulk water.
You know, be that guy in the gym that carries around a gallon of water. Yeah, be that guy.
Yes.
And, but just do it in your office. Yeah. Do it at your workplace.
Yeah, and your workout needs to just be straight curls for all those cups.
those 12-ounce curls.
Yeah, come on now. But we are talking about the San Antonio Spurs, and they go hand-in-hand, of course, with Fiesta. If you are Team Tank or Team Plan, tell us why. Give us a call in. Come on. Now, don't be shy. Don't be scared. It's the Lord's Day, and we're here to take calls. This is the Sunday Sports Grill, and our number, as always, for ESPN SA and San Antonio Sports Star is 210-656-3776. Edwin is more than happy to take your call. Once again, 210-656-3776. We're looking forward to hearing from you guys, but with that, play-in tournament is obviously coming up. We only have a few games left in the season. Realistically, if the Spurs get into the play-in tournament, do you believe they have a legitimate chance to make the playoffs?
Yes.
Okay.
I absolutely do believe that because, one, if you're looking at the teams that are going to be, they'll be going up against, this is right in the wheelhouse of the Spurs. Right. I feel like the Spurs struggle most with teams that have a dominant five or a front court that poses a real legitimate threat against them. When they have teams where the Spurs can switch off on wings, switch on picks, and really kind of extend their defense and kind of go up and down the floor, that plays right into the Spurs style. That's why they, as they did last night, although the New Orleans Pelicans didn't have Brandon Ingram in this game, but the reason why they were able to play in this type of style with against a New Orleans team who clearly is fighting to make the playoffs as well. I mean, they have all the reasons, too, to sit back and go, hey, Zion is we're going to lose Zion. And it probably would behoove us to go ahead and just get us another lottery pick. But there they are fighting. And I think the Spurs have demonstrated right now that they can get after it and put points on the board. And Josh Richardson has been a legitimate acquisition.
He's great. He's no joke.
I'll be honest with you. I see San Antonio making the 10. If they're a 9, if they jump the Lakers and make the 9 and they play the Clippers, then maybe they can make the playoffs. If they're playing Minnesota, I don't think so. I think if they're a 10 playing Minnesota, that's a solid team.
They are.
That's a solid team. And they're only a game away from being a 16 and being out of the play-in anyway. The Spurs are a game out of being into the play-in. The Minnesota Timberwolves are a game out of being in the playoff. So I just think that 7 spot, if the Spurs are going to make a run into the playoffs, I think they're going to have to scratch their way to a 9 seed and go with the Clippers, play against the Clippers. And how that would be fun if Kawhi – is Kawhi out for the year?
Yeah, I think he's done.
Is he done?
I think Paul George is the possibility of a return.
Oh. Paul George, and even when he returns, who knows what Paul George are going to get as well.
Right.
But, yeah, I agree with you guys. I think the Timberwolves is a tough one, and obviously the next thing would be if Minnesota does go up, all that means is Denver or someone's coming down, which is even more of a tough matchup.
Right.
So, I mean, right now, the way it is in the current NBA lines, you know, 1 through 6 are your only for sure things in any playoffs, and then the 7 through 8s have to, unfortunately, go through the gauntlet again to get back into the spot, we can talk about that another time, have your own takes about that. But the Spurs roster as a whole, I think it's the nucleus is extremely good. Extremely young. We haven't seen that in a long time. I don't know if we have enough in the tank to make a run like this where it's a tournament style, even to get into the playoffs.
I think we have enough given the right matchups, given some off games. If Brandon Ingram's injury goes longer when we play the Pelicans,
right?
Maybe.
It's a hamstring, right. So you never know.
But that's what I'm saying. I think at full strength, there's just a lot of teams that have a guy that can go off. And I think with us, obviously, we have Lonnie, we have Keldon, we have DeJounte, all great in their own right, all very big influx in scoring, right? I mean, Lonnie's been playing great lately.
True.
Keldon's been playing great lately. DeJounte has been great, but I just don't know if we have enough to make a playoff spot. And then even if you do, I don't know. I mean, we're going to get, run through, I think, in the actual playoffs.
Oh, if you make the 8 seed, if you actually end up winning, you're playing the Phoenix Suns. But then you can look at it. You can look at it as a coaching side of things or even as a GM side of things.
Yeah, it's an opportunity for sure.
Look at where the Phoenix Suns were 2 years ago whenever they made their way into an 8 seed and got ran through, or whenever they were a 7 seed and they were finally starting to come up. And then all of a sudden, 2 years after that, they're in the NBA finals, they lose. And now they're the first team to clinch a 1 seed in the league. They look at the league's best record.
Right. And look at the teams like Memphis, who also have 100%. Taken their lumps going in as a young team that was overmatched. And that's where we are with the Spurs. I mean, some people, like for those who are team tank, and I hear on the other shows during the week, you hear people throwing out some of these collegiate stars kind of in wishful thinking if we have a lower or a higher draft pick. Like, look at Duke's, what's his name?
Banchero. Yeah.
So when you look at him, when I watch him, I absolutely believe he will be a good pro. I don't see him as a generational game-changing player.
I think I see two guys in this year's draft that are generational change, and it's not Banchero and it's not Chet Holmgren.
Okay, gotcha. So I'm in agreement.
I like Jaden Ivey a lot.
Like him.
I think he is the closest thing to Ja Morant.
Yes.
And I think that's the way where the NBA is kind of headed, is that type of player. And I'll tell you what, I like Ochi Agbaji from Kansas. I think he's got a shooting style that his jumper is going to reflect very well at the NBA level.
Right, and you can see that transferable. I can literally see that as a pro, how that will
translate. I think those are the two guys, and I think those guys are going to be, middle of the top 10.
Yeah.
You're looking at a 6, 7, 8 pick right there to get one of those two guys.
Right. I think Banchero, watching him even last night against Arkansas, he didn't look like a man amongst boys. I mean, granted, he's a young person, period. He's a young man. But when I watched him, I didn't look at where you could see a guy, oh man, this guy's already a pro and he's playing amongst youngsters that are undeveloped. He was having to put in work. They were giving him everything he could handle on both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
And I felt like the physicality just isn't there. So to me, while people are pointing to college players as like Spurs, all they need is this, the next player the Spurs get might not be that guy. So there might be another piece that fits in with this, which is why I believe their draft capital is going to help them get a free agent that's necessary for them to do it.
I agree with the same thing. I think the draft capital is where you got to focus if you're a Spurs fan. I think that's where you're going to make moves. There's no way the Spurs are taking 3 picks in the draft. Something's going to give. Something's going to happen. But I will say, respectfully, I disagree. I think Paolo Banchero is going to be a legitimate guy.
You think he's a superstar caliber guy?
I think he's going to develop into a superstar caliber
guy.
Just because I think what I'm seeing now is what I saw. And again, a name that maybe 8 years ago you would say, oh my God, you're crazy. But now I think it's very realistic. What I see in Paolo Banchero that I saw, years back is almost very similar to a DeMarcus Cousins type set, where he can shoot, has handles for a big guy, can get very physical, is not a skinny dude.
No,
coming in, he's a very thick. Like I'm gonna body somebody.
He's got the NBA body,
right,
way more so than Chet Holmgren.
And that's where I think DeMarcus Cousins type, where it's a very big body, can shoot.
What about a Julius Randle?
Julius Randle is even better. That's more of a previous one. I think very Julius Randle-esque, where it might be the same thing. He's gonna come in, be very okay, very good, and then maybe has kind of that blow up year where now we look at Julius Randle as like a legitimate, very good player.
Can put the ball on the
floor. Exactly. And he has handles. He can, he can steal, he can block, he can rebound. I mean, Banchero's legit to me. And then the other person that I look at that I'm very impressed with,
all right, just real quick. With the number one, number two overall pick, are you looking for a Julius Randle type guy or a DeMarcus Cousins type guy?
I think if you're the Magic, you absolutely are.
Okay.
At least for the, at least for specifically the
if
Magic.
You're Magic, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, for the Magic for sure. The Pistons, Thunder, Pacers, all that. I mean, maybe the Pacers want to replace, you know, what they lost in Sabonis. I have no idea. But I think Keegan Murray's really good from Iowa. He's legit as a power forward. And the only other one that's impressed me this tournament that I'm sure, like every year, the draft stock's going to just jump up because of the play is Johnny Davis from Wisconsin. That dude was a hooper. That dude was, I mean, an absolute walking bucket.
Well, Caleb Love.
Caleb Love is no joke either. I just, when I see Caleb Love, there's been so many similar types to him.
Yeah.
Okay.
That have come in and okay. been just very good sixth man, seventh man, whatever, a very good shooter.
I actually think he fits well with a team that's already a little more established yes. where he comes in.
Right.
And becomes that
he could be, you know, I think I know Toronto's not established, but if Toronto with Van Vliet,
yes.
and you get him, Caleb Love coming OG. Off the bench behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I look at Caleb Love, I think very, I mean, because he can play perimeter D too. That dude's sticks on you.
Or even Phoenix.
He reminds
Phoenix
me
to be a great.
Oh, he reminds me very
yeah, he, absolutely.
When I look at Caleb Love, he reminds me very much of like a young Avery Bradley. Like very can okay, shoot gotcha. The ball, but can like lock you up on the yeah, perimeter. Right. So I mean, there's a lot of good players. What we see in the All Stars, Chet Holmgren. I don't think he's number one pick anymore, man. I don't know how
Dude,
you can.
I don't think
he had an awful tournament.
I don't think he had a great regular season.
I mean, I think it's just. The size, the lengthiness, I don't know what we're expecting of him, but all I know is the bar is set too high for this kid to be successful. Jabari Smith
his stock is,
really
is
too,
way low. Though.
But Jabari Smith is, I think, going to slide too. The only person who's going to be seen on national television out of these guys is Paolo Banchero. Like, he's yeah. the only guy yeah. that's probably going to be moving up. And I mean, he's had a great game against Tech, had another really solid game against Arkansas. We'll see what he can do. If Duke goes to the national championship, Paolo Banchero's draft stocks.
Oh, we saw it with Jalen Suggs.
Yeah,
we saw it with Davion Mitchell.
Yeah, they
you know, we've seen these guys have tournament runs. It's Steph Curry. We've yeah. seen guys, you know, have a tournament run where it's like, oh, we didn't know who you were before. You could even make the case for Trae Young.
Yeah, true.
You know, Oklahoma went on that run with Trae Young, you know, and so I think you can kind of look at some of these guys, Buddy Hield, you know, well, I don't
their stock
you know, their
rise.
Stock can rise just because of this tournament.
Even in defeat.
Yes.
Yeah. Even in defeat, for sure. So when we come back, let's break down a little bit of the news that maybe we missed out on. This is our first time back with you guys in a few weeks because of the tournament. But let's break down the news of Deshaun Watson. I would love to have whoever's managing him manage me because I don't know how you go from 20 from 20 possible assault cases to breaking the record for most guaranteed money by $80 million. But whatever the case, Rob Thompson is going to be hearing from that manager from me. So
yeah.
be
yeah.
ready, Rob, because clearly I'm coming out with the bag. But we're going to talk about Deshaun Watson, Matt Ryan, all the moves going on for the constant NFL carousel that we've been seeing. So let's talk about that and also where we think some of these other quarterbacks might be landing as we move forward. This is the Sunday Sports Grill, and we will be right back after this. Oh, yeah. Some Blink 182 for your Sunday. My boy Edwin setting the vibes right for a beautiful Sunday. Welcome to the Sunday Sports Grill with you every Sunday from 11 to 1. I'm your man, Brandon Big Poppy Medina, Quinn Hudson, Tanner Carlson in the building. Go give us a follow on Twitter. You can follow Tanner Carlson at TannerCarlson20 for all his freezing cold takes on Longhorn Sports. You can go follow Quinn Hudson. And you can go follow myself at Big Poppy Brandon. And we are having a blast.
Bro, I seriously thought it would be way earlier than halfway through the second hour.
Listen, he was gracious.
You know what it was? You know what it was?
You knew it.
I have to tell you nothing. You already knew it. If you follow Tanner or you follow myself, you knew it.
Bro,
I have to tell you nothing.
When they walked in the studio, you could have cut the tension with a knife. It was thick. It was thick in here.
I sat here and said, Tanner. good to see you're still chipper as usual.
Yeah, as always.
Yes.
But isn't that one of the great things about sports?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. You know, your sports fandom, you can throw it out there as much as if you're a Detroit Lions fan, so you're talking crap to somebody at some point.
Yeah.
You know, and it just happens that way. And sometimes you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, and I think on this show more than others, for sure, I think we're all very good. We're good sports
when we lose.
Right. Yes.
Because, listen, this is also a betting show, and you get used to losing. Yeah.
You start betting. You get used to taking the losses.
And if you're a Viking fan, too.
See?
Right?
Oh, okay. All righty.
Well, while we're talking about football, let's talk about all the moves the Cowboys aren't making and other teams are.
This is the first time we've mentioned football on today's episode.
In a while. Yeah. So, let's talk about the moves that have been made. So, we have Deshaun Watson getting $230 million guaranteed without having touched a football in the past year and a half. And we're not going to see him play not football for another probably couple months, even into the season. But he is now with the Browns. Obviously, I believe Jarvis Landry's moving on as well somewhere. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't know where. So
I think they've only got Cooper.
They got Amari Cooper for dirt cheap because the Cowboys don't know what they're doing. And then you have Matt Ryan getting traded away from the Falcons, who everybody thought he'd retire there. Obviously, we saw him blow a 28 to, what was it,
28-3
lead in the Super Bowl, looking to go back to a very legitimate Colts team.
Upgrade from Wentz.
Upgrade by a mile.
It is. Is it not? Did the Colts not get better?
Yes, absolutely.
100%.
I do, too.
And
I agree.
We have Russell Wilson, which is the trade that we were going to talk about last week.
Yeah,
that we didn't get to, but Russell Wilson is now a Denver Bronco.
He's cooking a mile high already. Fire. The whole stadium caught on fire. Yeah,
Drew Locke is over there in Seattle. We'll see if Future wants to be a part of his kid's life moving forward. But anyways, when we talk about Russell Wilson and all these other trades, let's talk about what trade do you think impacted the NFL more, gentlemen? What is going to be the legitimate trade that we look back on and say, man, that franchise got everything and more out of this trade? Mm.
I got to say, I mean, when you're looking at the moves that are being made, I think Adams going to the Raiders is the move. And I think people are not taking into account who Josh McDaniels has been to the Patriots franchise.
Okay,
you look at he has been the, I mean, you give all the credit to Belichick, of course.
Right.
He is the mastermind of it all. But Josh McDaniels made Matt Castle look great.
Yep.
Jimmy G has never looked as good as he did when he was playing for Josh McDaniels. Look at what he did for the other quarterbacks who played there that went on. Was it Brissett? I mean, I can't even say his name. They've had other quarterbacks that have come through the Patriots way. Now you've got, you look at Carr playing with his college, you know, buddy. And Adams is going to upgrade. They already had a talented Renfro playing there. They've got a tight end, a legitimate running game. And now you've got a offensive guru who knows how to maximize the most potential out of their personnel. To me, I think the Raiders are getting lost, understandably so, of all the moves that have been made in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Raiders were already there. They were a playoff team. And look at what they added to already made playoffs.
And they were a game-winning field goal kick away from beating the eventual Super Bowl runner-ups.
You're exactly right. So to me, that's the move. They just look at what they've done with their receiving core by just adding Adams immediately makes them a formidable, a legitimate contender in the AFC.
I'm going to go with a bit of a dark horse here. But I think the Khalil Mack trade to the Chargers is going to be, it's going to pay off for them.
That defense.
Because now you've got Bosa one side, you've got Mack on the other, and hopefully, and he's such a good talent, it's hard to see him injured every year, but Derwin James hopefully can come back. But they also got J.C. Jackson from the New England Patriots, so they have revamped and they have upgraded their defense, which I think a lot of people will say, with Justin Herbert on the other side of the ball, it was the thing that kept them out of the playoffs for the Chargers.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think you get a Khalil Mack to fill that kind of Von Miller side of things for the Rams this last season, you know, that kind of missing piece on the defense on from the edge.
Yep.
A veteran guy who's been in the league, who's been doing it. I think that trade, getting a guy the caliber of Khalil Mack paired with Bosa, J.C. Jackson, Derwin James, and you complete that side of the ball for the Chargers, I think Justin Herbert now has the sky's the limit for that kid.
Man, that's going to be a good team.
Yeah, it's going to be a legitimate team, man. And I think for me, for my pick, it's a tough one, man. It's between two for sure, but I think I just really like that the Colts went and made it happen, man. I think Matt Ryan with the Colts is an upgrade of Carson Wentz by a lot. I don't think by a little bit. I think it's by quite a bit. And you would look at if Pittman can be, you know, not injury prone, right? If you add in another another very good wide receiver, whatever the case, I think that'd be great. You already have an incredible running game, one that we haven't seen Matt Ryan have since, you know, I mean, God, I can't even think the last time Matt Ryan really had an amazing running back the way Jonathan Taylor is.
Maybe Michael Turner, but he was never Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and then you have a line that's going to block for you for the first time in God knows when. Yep. I mean, he's a legitimate quarterback, man. He really is. And so
out of the I think this was a stat that I saw Shefty tweet out, or maybe Fields, was the Colts have had 7 straight seasons with a different week one starting quarterback. Going back to Andrew Luck, and then it was Jacoby Brissett, and then I think it was Andrew Luck again after that. And then after he retired, I think, well, maybe Brissett was after Luck retired.
Yeah, Brissett was after
that.
And then they had Rivers.
But then they had Rivers, Wentz, and now Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the only reason I say that is because I look at things, right? You look at some of these divisions that maybe have the one or two, because obviously you have NFC East that has the Cowboys in them, and obviously none of them are really doing much besides the Cowboys. But when you look at the NFC North, Green Bay, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I mean, you look at 4 years, $200 million for Aaron Rodgers. You lose literally your number one and number two wide receiver with MVS and Davante Adams. I have no idea what's in the mind of Aaron Rodgers right now. I'm sure he's not very happy. But as far as the Colts, the reason I picked them is because the Broncos are going to be incredible, 100%. But they're in an absolute rough, rough area facing the Chiefs, Raiders, and Chargers.
Every week.
Yeah, every week. I mean, that is a tough, tough conference to get out of, and especially that specific division. Whereas the Colts, you got the Texans, the Jaguars, you can beat the Titans now. Like, Matt Ryan is getting you over that hump, because we've talked about this before, and I'll say it again. If I'm the Titans, you're seeing Amari go for a fifth-round pick. You're seeing Matt Ryan, whatever they gave up for him. You can go get... Listen, Tannehill is great. He's not going to get you over the hump. This is 3 years running where you've got in there, can smell it coming, and you can't get over the hump. Move on. Do what the Rams did. Go all in. Do you care about those first-round picks that much, or do you think your team is ready to win right now? Go all in. You have an incredible roster. Give a first, a second, and a third, and go grab an incredible
but
quarterback.
But do you want a rookie quarterback with a ready-made
team? No. What I'm saying is...
Hey, wait... Because I know we want to transition to this.
Go ahead.
What about Baker?
I knew that was coming. So
is Baker an upgrade? Is Baker an upgrade from Tannehill?
I don't think so.
I don't think, as far as accuracy, no. But as far as playmaking ability, I will say yes. Because although we don't see it much, Baker can make those tight runs in gaps.
No.
I'm telling you
now. No. Listen, we saw Baker with Beckham.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get it done. We
Beckham
see
and Jarvis.
And Kareem Hunt and Chubb. I mean, he's had his running game. So you're moving him to another place where another running game with a less talented receiving core? I don't see it. I don't think Baker's an upgrade. Now, I'm not saying Baker's not. I do believe Baker Mayfield is a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL.
Where does he fit? Texans?
My only thing is you could get Baker for extremely cheap, is what I'm telling you.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Seventh round pick,
That's why I'm saying Tannehill, sure, he's good. But also, you could get anybody. I mean, Baker's going to be a fourth round pick.
Okay, so you're a Viking fan.
Yeah, we just signed Kirk Cousins again for whatever God reason.
Well, I know, but if Kirk Cousins can go to a team that...
I'm 100% off the Kirk bus.
Okay, you're so all if, for that. If you can trade away Kirk and then trade for Baker...
Would you rather have Baker Mayfield with the Vikings?
Kirk, again, same thing with Tannehill. More accuracy with Kirk Cousins, but I think the playmaking ability would be there for
Baker. That time you actually have Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen. You got a little bit more weapons.
But the thing is, you're going to have the same type of offensive line. It's going to be giving up sacks left and right.
And I believe that Kirk Cousins actually can make more throws on the tree than
Baker
Mayfield.
That's what I'm saying. Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback. Baker Mayfield is a better player.
He's a gamer.
So
gotcha.
where does Baker fit in this league? Where does he fit in this
honestly,
league?
Honestly, looking at it, I mean, you have New Orleans.
New Orleans.
I mean, had they not already made moves already, Miami's making moves left or right. I don't know that. I think they're happy with Tua.
I'd rather have Tua.
No, yeah. Okay, I disagree. But I think they're going to stay
Baker?
With, yeah, I disagree a
How
lot.
How low is Baker on your list?
Yeah, though? I think Baker's 100% better than Tua. You're tripping there, dog. Tua's not bad, but he's not good.
Tua is a serviceable band-aid.
You're not gonna hear me. I mean, I'm the one who said that.
Could you see Baker in Pittsburgh? If they're gonna say, hey, you know what,
I think Pittsburgh's better but they're than not they are
trade,
with Trubisky.
I don't think they trade within the division.
Nah,
they're gonna give a quarterback into the division.
If I'm Pittsburgh, Baker Mayfield's better than Trubisky.
The spot that I like Baker that should have already happened. I'm 100% on this, and I don't know why it didn't. You tell me. You guys know. I know. You know what I know. You guys let me know what you guys think, because I'm confused on this.
That statement confused me.
Listen. You guys know what you know. I know what I know. All right? Listen to this.
I got to write that down.
Baker Mayfield should already be a Texan. I don't even know why this hasn't happened. I don't know what.
They love Davis Mills.
I know.
Talk to any Texans fan, and they love him.
But is there anything Baker Mayfield's going to give you more than Mills? That's the thing.
My thing is he could have just been thrown in.
What about Seattle?
Hell no.
Yeah,
They're done.
So you take Drew Locke over Baker?
No, I'm taking Baker over Drew Locke.
You know, you're just thinking about
Baker.
You're taking Baker over Drew Locke.
So you look at Drew Locke less than Tua Tagovailoa. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because you were like questionable about Tua.
Drew Locke is under Tua.
I put him
under. Quarterback tiers.
Okay, then maybe Seattle's the spot.
What, you don't like Drew Locke?
I like Drew Locke's personality.
That was rejecting a girl.
I like Drew Locke. I like him, the player.
She has a great personality.
Yeah, I'm not gonna date her.
But she's over on the dance floor now.
She'd be a really good friend.
Nah, but if it's a late night and Drew Locke's all I got, I guess Drew Locke it is.
A couple shots in.
Yeah.
That'll do.
That'll do, donkey.
I could see. I'm trying to think, man. I don't know where you fit.
Baker wants a new contract.
Yeah, hell no.
So that ain't happening.
But just like
Detroit. Go to Detroit.
With Goff?
Go
do something. Goff? We got to do something with Goff.
Okay, let's ask that question.
Yeah, go to Detroit.
Is Baker Mayfield an upgrade from Jared Goff?
Yes. Yeah. But where do you put Goff?
What are you? Okay.
What?
How low is Baker on your list?
You know what it is? You're doing a Brandon Medina. You're baiting us in just to then question us. Don't bait me in. Just tell me.
I have to question. I'm not allowed to
react. What I do. That's what I do, and you get mad. So
I can't react to the answer you give me.
Because it's a different answer.
Because if you
would have
said no, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's the answer you didn't want.
So, Jared Goff.
Jared Goff what?
We've seen him make all the throws.
Not at Detroit.
No, not in Detroit, yeah.
No, not in Detroit. We've seen Matt Stafford make all the throws in Detroit.
Yeah, Stafford did the best he possibly could have in
Detroit. Matt Stafford had Calvin Johnson.
Dude, he had Megatron.
Yeah. No, Baker Mayfield will be an upgrade in that roster. Redondre Swift, I mean, Josh Reynolds, I guess. And then you have, was it St. Brown? It's over there, right?
Yeah, you have a couple good. I believe Baker Mayfield is better than Jameis Winston.
Okay, Baker to the Giants.
Chris Gonzalez said Baker to the Giants. I think the Giants, this is the do or die year.
Oh, no. I think you've seen Jones enough. I would take Baker Mayfield over Jones.
I don't know.
They've already come out. The Giants have come out and said that they're on the Daniel Jones train for this year.
Hot take, I don't think I'd take Baker Mayfield over Daniel Jones.
Ooh.
Hot take.
Really?
I don't know.
Well, both of them have been under duress behind bad offensive lines.
Yeah, I think Baker Mayfield's a playmaker. I think he's a baller, but Daniel Jones got something in him. Because he does have games where I'm very impressed with the throws he makes or the runs he makes, too.
I think Daniel Jones has had a better receiving core around him and done less with it.
See, I think Baker is the anomaly of the entire league.
So he doesn't
fit in anywhere, but he also has a place in this league.
There's a lot of Baker talk we're getting into. Yo, Baker Mayfield, clearly, we don't know where you belong, bro.
They call him Cowherd.
You're an outsider.
If you took Baker Mayfield and put him in Arizona with the offense as is, instead of Kyler Murray, are they a better team?
No.
No.
With the same pieces?
No.
No. So it's what Kyler does that makes him go.
No. Yes.
No. Because he's probably 11, 12 right now in the league.
It's right. You guys are conflicting. I just said if you take Baker Mayfield and put him in place of Kyler Murray.
No, they're not going to be the same team.
Would they be better?
No.
No.
So Kyler Murray's the difference.
I'm agreeing.
Yes, okay. I'm agreeing.
Kyler is better than Baker. That's just what I'm saying. I'm not saying. I think they can upgrade be a better team,
even if
they don't have Kyler Murray.
Understood. Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha. My brain is in shambles right now.
We heard how you prefaced that other thought process.
I was out of it. Because I was thinking of teams that he could fit in, and I said,
You know what I know. Who we thought they were.
Yeah, I said, you know what you know. I don't know what the hell I know.
Oh,
so man. I'm just confused today. But all I know is, Baker Mayfield is very much down the line as far as quarterbacks. However, there has to be a spot for him somewhere.
I think they're going to keep him.
and just have him and Deshaun?
Yeah, because weird. Because you can't. There's have, no way
because Deshaun Watson is going to lose. That. Is going to probably miss games.
You're going to. You're still going to want so much cap just having Baker there just for no reason though. Maybe.
Well,
who
Baker's
knows?
On his rookie deal.
Yeah, he's yeah, on the books
knows?
Already.
Who
man?
Knows? So, Cleveland does weird things. Well, who knows?
You got
to
think.
Yeah, but you got to think of the locker room, though, man. You're gonna have Baker guy because Baker's a
also,
good teammate.
Just before we get out of here for the next segment, I do want to say
Carolina.
I do want to say maybe
okay.
like that.
Okay.
Sam Darnold did play really, really well for a long time there, though. This past season, he was playing really, really. Well.
I'll take Baker over Sam.
But so would I. I'm just saying. So Sam. Would I. I'm just saying he showed some limelight.
I'll take Baker over Sam.
Yeah. I will say, too, just hot take real fast, just so that we're clear. I don't think the AFC North is scary at all with Baltimore. That came up last time we talked about Baker. I'm not scared of Lamar Jackson whatsoever. I don't think that team's good at all.
I think people have forgotten what he was doing before he got injured.
I think worse, we're thinking Lamar is still Lamar of 2020, 2019, and that's not the case. They haven't even sniffed a playoff spot like that in a long time. I mean, they finished, what, last in that division last year?
Yeah, but how many games did he miss?
That's what I'm saying. Even when he's in, they have no playmakers. Like,
okay, but we know how many injuries they were decimated with.
Yeah, they were killed.
Preseason.
Yeah,
100%.
No, they had the most injuries going into week one.
Right. Yeah, I just think this is Cleveland and Cincinnati's game over there.
I would agree. Even with a healthy Lamar, I wouldn't see them catapult over those teams. Yeah. I think Cincinnati's only going to get better.
Yeah, for sure. So, let's move on from football. Let's talk a little bit more about March Madness. Let's finally make our picks. Who's winning this tournament now that we have some clarity on where things are? Obviously, right now we have Duke and Villanova in the Final Four. We're going to fill up those other two spots with Kansas versus Miami and those St. Peter's Peacocks versus the North Carolina Tar Heels. That's going to be a crazy one. An 8 versus 15 matchup there and a 1 versus 10. You don't want to miss it. We'll talk March Madness, all that and more coming up after this. This is San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM. We'll be back with the Sunday Sports Grill after these messages. What's going on, San Antonio? Happy Sunday. Hope you're having the vibes right. Hope you're getting all the kiddos having a fun time before school. And then, of course, you know, it's the last day before the workday, so you better celebrate out there. Go grab a bite to eat. Go head out. I know we were at Pinkerton's this past couple days. Oh, my goodness gracious. Pinkerton's no joke.
Man.
That's a great place to watch the games for today.
You got to get the beef ribs early.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though.
Because they get out. They run out.
You better take a fresh check over the beef ribs, though, because they're priced up a little bit. Bro, but they're incredible.
Meat in general, you go to the grocery store.
True.
You're paying double what you thought you would be paying on beef. So, true. I mean, it just, if you want some good, but hey, if you want a good barbecue, if you want some good food now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is it where it's worth paying that little
even
extra
ground money? Turkey? I buy ground turkey and ground turkey is gone.
Oh, no. Every day, chicken's expensive right now.
Yesterday,
everything's expensive.
Yesterday, we celebrated my fiance's 27th birthday. Hey, I bought 7 pounds of carne asada and we made a whole taco, like street taco little thing.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. We went in.
That's nice.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But when we talk about Sundays, there's no more better Sunday besides Super Bowl Sunday than talking about March Madness with the Final Four on the line.
Oh, man.
Kansas, Miami, North Carolina, and the biggest that we discussed already, the biggest Cinderella story we've ever seen with St. Peter's number 15, not only in the Elite Eight, the highest ranking seed, the lowest ranking seed ever in the Elite Eight, but also knocking off Kentucky, absolutely crushing brackets. They're knocking off Purdue. Now here we are with North Carolina, who's had an incredible run as well, knocking off UCLA, Baylor, some really big teams too. So with that, let's break these two games down. Let's pick our winners. Let's pick our winners of the Final Four, and let's pick who's winning this whole damn thing.
Mm.
Here we go. Quinn Hudson, start it off, baby.
All right. Well, first of all, I'm biased in that I wanted the Big 12 to fare well all the way through this tournament.
I thought they represented well.
I do, too. I think they've got more to thump their chest about than the SEC, for
sure.
They
were 6-0 in the first round.
Yeah, so I like the way they fared. So I have a little bit more of affection for Kansas. I want to see Kansas do well. But as I said before the tournament, I wish I had stayed with my heart and not my mind. I believe this is a storied fairy tale for Coach K. Mm. And I just believe after watching last night, the second wave of that Duke, the bench that came in, showed something. When you got a guy like AJ Griffin coming in and he just became a force, and every team doesn't have that kind of caliber coming off the bench, and they can just hit you in the, with that front court to just to work you over time. They believe now, and I don't think they believed early on in the year, and I know they are on to something special. So I believe they've got motivation for waiting. I hope, I think they're waiting, hoping North Carolina wins.
Yeah.
And I believe Duke is going to win the whole thing. Mm. And this is going to be one of those movie made seasons of Coach K being carried off into his greatness.
Who do you think they play? Nova, KU, Miami?
I see them playing Nova.
You think so?
Yeah.
No, Nova was pretty solid. Although today's narrative is that Villanova's defense was phenomenal, right?
Right.
Houston missed a lot of open
shots. I was going to say.
Houston missed a lot.
Yeah.
They missed open shots. Like, it wasn't strictly Nova. I'm not taking anything away from Nova. To get to the Final Four, hell of an accomplishment. Yeah. Your kudos are well deserved. But Houston missed a lot.
Houston only knows one way, and they just kept playing the same way all the way through.
That's what they did. And I can appreciate a team that's like, this is our identity. This is what we're going to do.
Right.
We're going to win with this. We're going to die with this.
That's right.
You know, and that's what they rode they rode with it, and then they died with it.
True.
So I was big on the Houston bandwagon. I was all aboard the Houston bandwagon. And so unfortunately, that is no longer an option. But man, I want to say just let's just ride with the Peacocks into the Final Four, but like you said, what's your heart telling you? What's your brain telling you? And my heart's saying Peacocks, my brain is saying this is an easy pick for North Carolina.
Yeah,
so I'm going to go North Carolina playing Duke, and then I think my wife's her family grew up in Florida. They're big Miami Hurricane fans, and she actually has them in this game against Kansas in her bracket that she filled out.
Wow.
That she watched zero basketball games this year and got Kansas and Miami in the Elite Eight strictly off of fandom and fandom alone. And so I would like to root for Miami. Probably will be rooting for Miami, but I think it's Kansas getting the win today. And for the national championship, it's this Coach K Duke thing, like you said, man. It's just how these tournaments work out sometimes. I think it's going to be Duke and Kansas, and I think Duke does win it all.
Wow.
I hate Duke. I don't. I'm the typical when Duke loses, America wins guy.
Yeah.
I'm the same way with the Patriots. I'm the same way with the Yankees. I'm the same way with a lot of different teams.
You literally are my spirit.
Yeah. Like I don't
and
like
a Cowboy fan and a Maverick fan. It's outstanding.
Yeah, but
I hate it all.
I just don't root for Duke, but I think unfortunately it just seems like it's written already.
Right,
it seems like the narrative's been written. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like the way you put that. The narrative has already been written. I agree with that. I think the narrative has been written. I do have Duke versus North Carolina, like most, especially now that St. Peter's is there. I think the Cinderella story comes to an end. If it doesn't, I'll be so happy for them. I mean it's gonna be incredible. But I think
we're all rooting for St. Peter's.
Yes.
I just don't think any of us like truly believe it's gonna happen.
Yeah, I got off. I'd say I was gonna put money on St. Peter's.
Some
I'm
point,
over it.
Yeah, at some point. Yeah, at some point you gotta just let it be.
Yeah.
So Kansas, I think they beat Miami. I do think we're gonna see Villanova and Duke, and I am going to say Villanova wins that one. I think Villanova is a more complete team.
Nice.
Colin Gillespie's been there, done that. This team is no joke. Obviously they've won a championship. They made, I think I saw a stat, 4 out of the past 6 Final Fours. Mm-hmm. Like they're a complete team. Although Coach K is the best coach in college basketball history, this team is very legitimate. This team is very young. I mean, every person on the starting roster is a freshman or sophomore for Duke. Obviously, when you're talking about Duke, they're talking about the best freshmen and sophomores usually
True.
In the country. But I think Villanova is very, very complete. They've played, to me, a tougher style of games as far as going through and having to play a lot of really good teams that were upsetting. I mean, you had Michigan that upset Tennessee. That Michigan team was really good. They beat them. They beat Houston, who obviously looked like they might be heading for a Final Four run because they were just on fire. Mm-hmm. So I like Villanova versus Duke, and I'm gonna take Villanova as my winner, but I think it's gonna be a close one.
So I put this out on the Twitter sphere, and I got some interaction on it. Should we talk about Villanova like we talk about Gonzaga every
100%.
year?
100%.
Yeah.
Gonzaga gets
so.
Hyped up. They're the one seed every year. Gonzaga is this team that everyone's like, this is finally the year they're going to do it. And you know who actually does it every year? Jay Wright in the Villanova Wildcats.
Also Jay Wright. Yo, fresh. Dressed, like a million bucks.
Dude, would he not be like the godfather? Like he'd be the mob boss. Yeah. If this was the 1940s, he'd be on the take, but he'd be like, dominate and just like fixing everything.
He absolutely knows the assignment, man. He does. He knows the light is on. He's sharp.
He is sharp. Is such a great adjective. He's sharp, man.
Yeah, man. He's no joke. But I do think Villanova's one of the more complete teams as far as teams left in. Kansas can go and win this. Kansas can. They could. They've played a lot of really tough games in the Big 12. Obviously, they're battle tested. You can say the same for Duke and North Carolina. My thing is just they live and die by Agbaji. Like, if Agbaji's not on,
100%.
I mean, there's Villanova teams. And the thing is, Villanova is always on, it seems. I mean, they constantly, their guard play, the forward play. I mean, they just play a very, very good style of basketball. Whereas Duke and North Carolina, any one of those guys can go off or whatever. True. But obviously, you're looking at Caleb Love, you're looking at Pablo Banchero. That's going to be the most fun game, I think, Duke North Carolina, because we saw North Carolina absolutely wipe the floor with them for Coach K's last home game. So Duke fans, if North Carolina goes to the Final Four, which we're all expecting, but St. Peter's might put an end to that. But if they go, I expect that to be absolutely rocking in New Orleans. Bourbon might run out of alcohol. I think that's
you know what I was saying.
Those
earlier,
college kids are no joke.
Right. But you know my what I was saying in the first hour about how like you don't need to have these like top programs playing against each other.
Right.
If it's Duke North Carolina though, that's a little bit different of a story. You kind of want that.
You need them in this game.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I think what's great about the remaining teams for the games we're going to watch today and the storylines that are already being seasoned for Final Four, there are no losing scenarios depending on who wins today. Because
maybe Miami. I don't think anybody wants to watch Miami basketball. I just don't. Right?
Who was the last really good Miami basketball player? Shane Larkin?
Oh, man.
Ooh, yeah. Throwback? That might be the last like good Miami. Lonnie Walker was at the U.
He's legitimate.
Yeah. I mean, there's just not many. But with that, those are our March Madness picks. So I'm taking Villanova over Duke.
I've got Duke over Nova.
Okay.
And I got Duke over KU.
Okay. I like all those matchups.
Yeah.
I'm 100%. Anything can happen, but I think all of us want St. Peter's over Miami. Sounds good. All righty. That's what we're going to book it. St. Peter's over Miami in the championship. That's what we want.
That's what we want.
Don't place any bets on it, though. But when we come back, let's end the show out with some fun times. Let's talk about, like I said, yesterday spent the day celebrating my fiance for her birthday.
Nice.
Let's end the show. What's the best gift you've ever been given ever, period? Whether it's Christmas, your birthday, whatever. And what's the best gift you've given somebody else, Quinn?
Oh, man.
And it better not be now or later because they're trash. So when we come back, let's end the show on a fun time. This is a Sunday Sports Grill on ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM. Oh, man. Sunday Sports Grill going to give it to you. We here on the San Antonio Sports Star. This is going to be a quick segment. We're going to have some fun with this one. We got about 3 minutes, gentlemen. You guys ready to go through this? Fast and furious.
Let's do it. Vin Diesel
type. You know what I'm saying? Yes. It's all about family.
Family.
Quinn Hudson, best gift you ever received, best gift you ever given?
Best gift ever received, 5 pounds of only red and green gummy bears.
What the hell?
Yes.
He's a simple man with simple taste.
Yeah,
that's it, man.
That's all it is.
When did you get that? 67?
Before Harborough was even a thing.
The summer of 69.
Y'all being hurtful. I'm sharing my greatest, most cherished gift.
And we're hating on it. That's awesome. Turn
me into Benjamin Buttons. So stop it.
What's the greatest gift you've ever given?
The greatest gift I've ever given, I will have
your time.
Yeah, stop my time. That's a good one, though. Maybe an air fryer?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God! Y'all aren't gift givers, are you?
You're not a gift giver. Huh?
That's not your what is it? Love language? Gift giving?
Mattress? Maybe
a Tempur-Pedic mattress. Now we went from an air fryer
to a Tempur-Pedic mattress. Memory foam goes a long way, man. Yes. Y'all don't understand. Y'all,
yeah. I got memory foam.
Get back to me in 20 years. I'll be sharing the same story. A bag, a 5-pound bag of candy, and a soft mattress. Y'all gonna learn to appreciate those things.
You don't do like sentimental gifts like that mean something.
I just told you about sentimental gifts.
Okay, go for it. All right.
The best gift that I've received, my parents sent me and my brother on a vacation, like a ski trip.
Nice.
We were like 18. It was the first time me and my brother did anything not parent related. Nice. And so me and my bro, we went out to Colorado. Did everything you do in Colorado, obviously, and then we enjoyed the week together. So that was fun. So that was the best gift I've ever received. That was for my birthday. And then when I got my wife her wedding ring on Christmas Day, that was the best gift I'd ever given to somebody, was proposing to my wife.
Yeah, that gift takes a while to pay back.
That's the gift that keeps on taking.
That's all it is.
It's not giving.
So the best gift I've been given is I got a all-expenses-paid trip to Cabo San Lucas for my 19th birthday. That was a very, very fun time. And then also one of my good friends clearly does not come from the south side of San Antonio, but he gave me front row tickets to Drake for my birthday, and we went to go see Drake.
Bro, what?
I was like, I don't know what you expect for your birthday. Nice. This is nice. But the best gift I've ever given is it's very close to my heart. Me and my mom went to go see Smokey Robinson on Valentine's, and that's where I met George Gervin. And he bought us I bought tickets for us way up in the balcony for Smokey Robinson. My mom's a big fan. We met George Gervin, and he pushed us up into the sixth row. So.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah, George Gervin was like, this is your mom for Valentine's? I said, yeah, it's your gift. He said, I got you guys.
That's awesome.
You sitting up
there. That's great.
So, those are great. Can I recant my gummy
bears? No, you got air fryers, gummy bears, and Tempur-Pedic mattress. That's what you got. Sorry.
Sounds good. All righty. Well, we're going to say goodbye for everybody over 65. Quinn Hudson says goodbye. Tanner Carlson, myself, this is the Sunday Sports Grill. We will see you next.